and this is Freak Trigger and the Lollards of Pug. It's midday on Sunday, 18th of March, and it's the start of Resonance 104.4 FM broadcast day. Coming live from Sirius, in the constellation of Canis Major, that's just 8.6 light years away, today's show is a special canine edition. It's exciting. we're going to be conducting a taste test of various canned spirits. We'll have exclusive access to this week's number one in the illegal dial node charts. And I've got a special report from the Centre of Doggy Supremacy, otherwise known as Birmingham, to lay folk like you and I. And not forgetting our panel. Today they have six X chromosomes between them, and I don't mean the delightful Wadworth sale. Giving us their well-measured and highly polished tuppences this week, we have the fragrant Katie Grocott.
Hello.
The elegant Alex Campbell.
Hello.
And the delicate Sarah Clark.
Woof.
Keeping these young fillies on a tight rein is our gentleman caller, Castmaster Steve Hewitt.
Hello there.
So together we'll dissect the bonkers attitude of overpaid advertising execs with regard to the world of pet food commercials, and try and untangle the veritable mouthful of syllables allocated to highly strung pooches. But first, what's gone before? Nonsense, when all is said and done, is still nonsense. The study of nonsense, that is science. Freaky Trigger, the internet's only marginally sane collective, drops science so you can pick it back up again. Alright, this week on FT we've seen a periodic table of puddings. Lord Suckrat has been keeping the Agatha Christie revival up to speed. And after some extended paternity leave, Tom Ewing has resumed popular as his ongoing quest to review every UK number one hit, with some classics from Chicory Tip and Harry Nilsson. And also in crikey news, Lucy Lawless, perhaps better known as Xena Warrior Princess, has decided to break into the world of pop music with her new single, Come to Mama.
Crikey.
I'm sure there's no hidden lesbionic message in this whatsoever, and she's merely telling her daughter to come indoors for her tea.
Well, probably. Is it a song with an acoustical guitar in it by any chance?
I doubt it. Maybe she's like moaning about her inner pain.
Isn't that what they call it these days?
Yes. Has a Greek legend ever had a pop hit? Can anyone remember?
No.
Odysseus?
Demis Roussos.
Well done, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we've also got some, well, as I mentioned earlier, we've got some alcoholic beverages in my magic bag under the table here. And let's see what we've got. Some MD 2020. Now, I've never heard of this beverage.
Oh, you're joking.
No way.
I've never heard of it.
The legendary beverage from my youth. I was saying that the last time I drank that, I kind of fell asleep and I woke up at dusk with a duck looking down at me and then felt very, very ill for quite a long time afterwards. And I bought 2 litres of it from Sainsbury's because it was on sale, and the other litre just went straight down the toilet, I'm afraid.
Were you inside or outside when
I was outside.
It hadn't got in.
No.
It is very much an outside drink.
We had a picnic.
Well, we're in the outer Club space, so I think that's about as outdoors as you could get. It's 8.6 light years away. Let's see, what else have we got in my magic bag? We have Borzoi, which says double vodka and lemonade on it, with sugar and sweetener.
Oh, that's got to be good.
Who fancies that?
Oh, so. I'm quite keen on the MD 2020, it being fluorescent and luminous and quite frankly terrifying.
It's an appetising strawberry-flavoured grape wine-based drink.
Oh, come on, crack it open.
Grape wine as opposed to all those other kinds of
exactly.
wine I've seen.
Exactly, here we go.
Shoe wine.
And just so... Oh.
Is it reminiscent of a pick-your-own field?
It's kind of reminiscent of strawberry-smelling... disinfectant.
Wow. Ooh, sounds good.
Have a smell test. I'm the
lady.
You
meant to taste it. Come on.
Oh, it smells great.
You've got to get the bouquet.
Just so
it's just like strawberry antibiotics, which are nice, as any fool know.
That is disgusting.
Am I the only one who wants to drink it then?
Yes, hang on. You bought it.
Oh, blimey. Okay, here goes nothing, listeners.
And the taste?
I think I'll stick with my gin and juice, which I've brought pre-mixed because I couldn't actually find any gin in a can.
Right.
That, Alex is referring to the 2020, not the gin and juice.
I should say that this is a nicer pink flavour of MD 2020, but as being as it is strawberry. The one I'm most used to is a fluorescent lime colour, which I think is made out of radioactive juice, but let's give it a go.
Do you think these drinks are new rave in any way? Do you think there'll be a revival because of their bright colours?
They're old indie. I mean, I used to drink this in, you know, when I was 17 and sneaking my way into clubs and dancing to Oasis all Boy. Those years ago.
Classy.
Bloody kids.
Shall I open the Borzoi?
Yes, open it. It's, the Borzoi comes in...
a type of dog, don't you know?
It is a type of dog.
It comes in a glass bottle, so it's automatically higher class than any of the other drinks.
So higher glass.
Higher glass.
It smells glass. Like lemonade that's been left out. Let's see how it tastes.
Glug, glug.
Anyone else?
No.
Go on, just for the interest of science, so I've got to compare it to the 2020.
I don't think I can taste anything after the 2020.
Oh, Christ.
You were so happy. Well, sorry, Borzoi, but
I'm not touching it.
I am. Terrible drink was purchased from the Centrepoint Food and Wine, which is just next door to the Sirius Constellation, not near the Centrepoint building at all. And there was a whiskey and ginger version of that as well.
And you didn't buy it?
I didn't.
Oh, I don't believe it.
I know, clearly.
It would have been rough.
Clearly I made it.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Just so our gentleman knob twiddler hasn't felt left out.
Hello.
I've got a can of Guinness.
Lovely Guinness.
Very topical.
Feel free for you to crack it open, but not over the mixing desk.
Yeah, no.
there it goes.
So what's the verdict?
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Indeed.
Hey.
Up the gin.
Hey.
So what's the best one out of this?
MD.
The gin.
Does anyone want to... I'll try the gin and juice,
but last time I had this, it was with a group of people who'd thought that Kahlua and orange juice was a good mix. And surprisingly enough, it was okay, but haven't been able to think of gin and juice in the same frame ever again, but let's try it.
Kahlua and orange, that sounds kind of like something you get in a Quality Street box, perhaps, a coffee orange.
It sounds...
Oh, instant flashback to a bad party that I'd forgotten going to.
Yeah, I really can't drink gin anymore, it makes me think of bad things.
Surely lovely.
Like Maltese Terriers?
The gin is, it's a quality gin.
Like Pekingeses? Like Jake Shears?
Now, ladies.
Calm down.
Right, I think that's quite enough of that. Now, as I mentioned before, today's episode is a special doggy edition. Now, two intrepid members of our panel made a very special trip to the NEC in Birmingham for the canine event of the year. Sarah, why on earth did you decide to visit Crufts this year?
Well, first of all, because it was a bit cheaper than going to Eurovision, and second of all, that we thought the dogs might actually sing this year. That's a lie. We just found out the tickets were readily available. Shall we do this? Totally.
Cool.
And then we thought we'd research by watching Best in Show, so we identified what we thought were going to be all the doggy people stereotypes. And
was there a mad old farmer dude with a enormous great big hound?
Mad farmers?
We didn't even see Ben Fogle.
No?
Who would probably fit that description in a few years' time.
I kind of imagine everyone who has a dog in Crufts being kind of like mad drama school mum, but with dogs.
Mostly, yes. It seemed to be, there were a lot of rude old people.
So no, none of the pushy mother sort, but just like transferring
their
ambitiousness onto a dog.
In Best in Show, there was one lady who showed herself to be above all the other people. You know how it seems to be obligatory to wear blazers with a little armband on them?
Yes.
As you run around for no reason at all. Why? They're awful. But she had actually done her hair real nice and put a white frock on, ran around with a little dog. in heels. That she was in heels, not the dog.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I've forgotten what my point was.
Was she wearing tweed?
Well, she was obviously done up a bit. No, a tweed dress.
they do exist.
Oh, God. No, she was just kind of slightly overdressed for running around with the dog, despite, even though it wasn't Crufts. You know,
yeah, but I think that she was the only one who'd actually thought, presentation is everything for this. I must also present myself as well as the dog. Everybody else is entirely focused on their dog there. Most of them, I don't know why, I have to return to the blazer thing. Even the young kennel club, with the type of people who you'd think, the youth, they won't want to show themselves up in front of all their doggy peers by wearing a silly blazer and ill-fitting suit. Unfortunately, that appears to be exactly what they want to do.
So the young kennel club is that teenage dog breeders?
I think it's up to the age of 24, so none of us are eligible, I think, anymore.
Oh.
What with having no dogs as well.
Yes, I'd like to point out that none of our Lollards today actually do have any dogs or actually any pets, I don't think.
Ones that aren't on the computer.
I kind of have visiting rights to my mum's cat.
Oh.
And many happy memories of when we did own a dog.
What was your dog called?
My dog was called Byron.
Byron?
He was a rescue dog, so none of us were responsible for naming him.
Oh,
but he was a smashing dog.
What sort of dog was he?
He was half Basset, half Beagle.
Beseagle.
In all these years, I've never actually tried to think of a name for a half Basset, half Beagle, but I suppose so. Or a Beaglet.
Beaglet.
A Beaglet?
Yeah. Because he was just kind of plump and sausage shaped with a very waggy tail and floppy ears.
Because of course you do get all these crossbreeds these days. So you have a cross between a Labrador and a poodle, which would be a Labradoodle.
She's not joking.
I'm not joking.
What's a cross between a Cocker Spaniel and...
Watch it.
Dear, oh dear.
It's a cockapoo, isn't it?
Yep, sure is.
What's the Crufts, the Kennel Club's attitude to these crossbreeds?
None of that sort of thing here. Really.
There's a whole different thing for that kind of thing. Scruffs.
Scruffs.
I think.
Yes.
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 That's true.
Which sounds like a whole lot more fun. Actually.
Yeah. I believe it's said in front of me that they are judged on good temperament with children and other animals, rather than just their skull measurements and other...
These dogs seem to have too much liking for children, as evidenced in the Friends for Life exhibition.
Oh, what is the Friends for Life exhibition?
Well, I'm not sure how much of this was broadcast on TV.
Apparently
assuming
very little,
I am
there. Actually.
Thank goodness. What happened is that a small child in a yellow t-shirt came into the arena, sat there for about 6 minutes or so whilst...
With the dog?
Oh yeah, the dog as well. Whilst we were all a bit confused, thought that she was just lost somehow, and that she was maybe one of the disabled people in the Friends for Life who'd just sort of gone out by accident and nobody had the heart to say, "Not looking at you, no, not yet, 5 minutes." but then, the opening chords of a certain refrain struck up. Whistle Down the Wind started.
Oh dear God.
Sung solo by small lispy child. But then, a whole horde of white t-shirted youth.
Yellow. It was yellow.
White? Oh yeah.
It was all yellow.
Of course it was yellow.
As they say.
Sorry, it was so evil I thought it was white.
Well, the dogs wouldn't know the difference because they see things in black and white.
Apparently they don't. Apparently they see things a bit like dusk. Like how we see things at dusk.
So everything's a kind of murky grey.
Sludge.
Yeah.
Ah.
Sludgy vision.
Yes.
So,
small children, yellow t-shirts, carry on. Yes,
they all joined in this chorus of Whistle Down the Wind. But when they were finished, I'm not sure if I'm remembering this in order, but then they set up sort of a karaoke setup on the big screen where everybody had to stand up whilst they sang the Friends for Life theme song, which I think...
Anthem.
Oh, right. Probably commissioned just for Friends for Life.
No, that happened after they'd announced the winner. And they showed some footage of him being noble.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. And you wonder why they cut this bit out of the television broadcast.
It was really, really cringeworthily.
So
bad.
If that was
the national anthem.
If that was the cringeworthiest bit, what was the best bit of Crufts?
Oh, well, the best bit was probably seeing the pug, and the worst bit was seeing the pug being knocked out.
Oh.
Not literally.
I was going to say, that's horrid.
It's not that kind of show.
There's, no sort of cock fighting in the middle. Cocker Spaniel fighting, perhaps.
None of that, no.
To the death.
No,
Jaws of
very
Steel.
Well behaved.
Oh, well, that's nice. I've heard tell of doggy dancing. What's all that about?
Doggy dancing is amazing. I at first thought, no, this is just a ludicrous thing that they're making up for reality TV dog shows. But it actually turns out that in the live arena, doggy dancing is sort of awesome. On TV, I think it looks ridiculous because you have all the close-ups of the dog and they don't look at all as if they're doing anything to music. They just look like they're running round a bit.
Do they do tricks or...
Jumping
through hoops?
Well, it seems if you have to be... When you're really good at this, you theme what the dogs do to the music. And this year we had a James Bond medley,
awesome.
Which had a fantastic bit where the dogs sort of snuck down onto their front paws and crawled forward as if they were...
It sounds like the Krypton Factor assault course.
Was there any agility? Because that's the usual sort of activity you think of when in dog shows.
Didn't get to see that.
Perhaps next year then.
This breaking news just in, it's been pointed out to me via the wonders of textual messaging that in fact that Katie's dog when she was growing up was actually a bagel.
A bagel.
Who's pointed this out?
Meg pointed that out.
Thank you, Meg.
Right.
Bagel.
Sarah, do you have a song for us?
I do have a song. It's a special mystery song. Let's go.
Okay.
We're parking. Guess we're parking. And my wedding was about to start. Dogs were barking. Monkeys clapping. Then I get up on table and I said, I meet you 10:45 on the Broadway canal. Disco, radical, transglobal. Yo, beat fan, culo, feel textura. Выдержит ли аппаратура? And I said, mama, diaspora. Papa, вдоль бордела. Энергия, пробуждение и я. Dogs were barking, monkeys clapping, bears were dancing, and girls were cutting loose. Cops were lurking, kids were snarkling. Then her father came up to me and said, Вы бывали когда-нибудь на выставке собак? She was a 5:45, наше дело табак. Я же старый добрый ото, утула дырит. Говорят, просто больной, да ничего же не болит. Она же мама, да я спора. Папа вдруг альбардела. Энергия, пробуждение и я. Remember things, things that are eternal. Remember things, you forget the things. Нельзя понять, нельзя измерить. Только бросать и только вы. Off of you inside. You pull the trigger. Yes, you are still standing. Just on somewhere else. But with magic in your hand. And dogs were barking. And the guests were barking. And the monkeys clapping. And girls were cutting loose. Thinking of things. Things that are eternal. When her mother came up to me and said, dogs were barking. Cops were lurking, and my dancing was about to start. Monkeys clapping, party.
Yeah, jingle all throw away your sorrow. The matter be barrow.
Давай, товарищ, my товарищ would.
Jingle 5:45 style. Опа, дери! I'm smoking a good sense of feeling. I met a crazy dancer apart at the bus. She held me by the hair, I held her by the end. She was a crazy dancer, but I don't know. right down to the into dancing. Come and have some fun at a party, feel alive. Байку канападе оригинал микстура. С улицы до улицы до бриллиант басура. Бит фан-клуб, фил секстура. Выдержит, не выдержит ли аппаратура. Dogs were barking.
And now the dogging forecast, issued by the Vet Office on behalf of the Kennel Club at 12:05 today. Tail warnings, high loyalty in all areas except Cerberus, Marmaduke and Old Yeller. The general situation at midnight. Full moon, howling gale falling to low growl. Walkies, hind leg rising. Showers over lamppost expected. And now the terrier forecasts for the next 24 hours. Rottweiler, southeasterly 7, rising 8, generally rough, increasing violent. Put down expected soon. Dalmatian, variable 100 or 101, mainly good, patchy. Labrador, biscuit, becoming mild, drooling imminent. Good dog. Pugs, expected on lap. Noses, wrinkly. 40s, lassie, fading away towards dawn. Greyhound, northeast, veering 8, fast or very fast. Knacker's yard later. German bark, becoming worse than bite. Rough. Toto, scrappy doo, crypto, air bud, hooch, fictional. Poor. Bouncer, Wellard, Little Willy, Soapy, veering towards surreal plot lines later. Hobo, littlest. Tomorrow, hopes to settle down. Until tomorrow, just keeps moving on. That concludes the Harrier forecast on 18th March 2007.
Katie.
Hello.
What are you going to talk to us today?
Well, I decided after coming home a couple of weeks ago, my flatmate showed me this, what can only be described as awesome advert on YouTube.
The young person's YouTube.
The young person's YouTube, indeed. And it's just an advert. I think it's from the 90s, just for a dog snack in America. But it's captured my imagination somewhat. So I thought I'd kind of talk about dog food advertising, and it's proven an unexpected. There's been a lot of reminiscences about this. So yes.
Shall we have a listen to this advert of which you have been speaking?
Let's have a listen.
Bacon! Where's the bacon? I smell bacon! Bacon! Gotta be bacon! Only one thing smells like bacon! That's bacon! Bacon! There! From that bag! What's it say? I can't read! Please, give me what's in the bag! Chewy, yummy, smoky bacon!
Here you go.
Oh boy, nom. It's bacon!
No, it's bacon strips, brand dog snack from Purina. Bacon strips. Dogs don't know it's not bacon.
It's bacon!
That was incredible.
Well, yeah, and it reminded me of a lot of actual people I know, which I think...
I don't.
Hello. I just liked it because, I mean, obviously, you can't see the pictures on the radio, but the actual advert is from the dog's eyes point of view, so you just see this kind of snout and nose zooming around the kitchen, jumping on, looking in frying pans for the bacon, and it was just so funny. And it's all from the dog's point of view, and that's kind of how I imagine, you know, when a dog smells bacon, that's what it does. It goes, oh my god, must find the bacon and eat it.
Do dogs actually eat bacon?
Well, they kind of eat anything, really.
I suppose.
I mean, my dog used to go loopy for anything that happened to be cooking at the time.
I see. As if, like, if they're cooking it, then it must be good.
Oh, yes. Well, and also because, you know, they think, you know, they're one of the family, aren't they? So whatever you eat, they kind of have to share in as a...
But
a little pack mentality.
Does the family ever eat what the dog eats? Katie, is it true that you ate dog biscuits?
Well, I
once?
Don't know where you found this scurrilous rumour from. Actually, yes, it is. I've never eaten actual tinned dog food, but when I was very small, I think my mum must have been pregnant with my brother at the time. And I kind of found out somehow that pregnant women eat strange things.
Shout out to all our pregnant friends out
yes.
listening out there.
Big up.
And
I said to my mum, well, did you eat anything funny when you were pregnant with me? And it turned out my mum would eat the dog's dry biscuits, Winalot biscuits. So, of course, I thought this was the best thing ever. Dived into the packet of Winalot biscuits. And I seem to remember that they were quite nice.
Really?
Yeah. And I have this memory of just sitting in the kitchen with my mum, with us both eating the Winalot biscuits and drinking milkshakes made with Ribena syrup.
Ooh.
Because that was what else she
kind of craved. The biscuits have some sort of meat extract in them?
Well, I don't know. They probably did.
So because, you know, this is sounding good.
Well, I don't know what they put in them these days. I mean, this was obviously a long, probably quarter of a century ago or something.
I imagine they're not vegan. Though.
No, I shouldn't imagine they're even remotely vegan.
Yes. So they're not featuring in your diet these days, then?
No, they were vaguely rusky.
I loved rusks.
No, rusks
are
horrid.
You'll love
Winalot. What sort of
food brands are available?
They are. What other adverts are there for dog food at the moment?
Well, see, I don't watch that much TV these days, but when I think of dog food adverts, I just think of...
Does it seem succulent?
An immaculate white kitchen with the lady taking a big sniff of... I mean, there was a cat food advert, am I right, where she opened the Sheba and...
And it's like,
took a big whiff.
That's cat food.
Yeah, sometimes cat food can smell quite tempting.
Mm.
Really?
Yes.
Would you care to elaborate?
I've never eaten it, but I've often thought, actually, that doesn't smell so bad, and it looks like a nice, you know, stew.
Yeah, see, I think that about dog food.
Well, there's
probably the same stuff, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, probably.
Don't tell cats, though.
There is actually something I found out. On the internet says... That in certain parts of America that there are a couple of brands and they're actually labelled human grade food.
Human grade?
Human grade food, although the...
Is it made out of humans?
Oh, I don't think so.
Totally is.
Well. But the article goes on to state that no official definition of the term exists.
Of human grade food?
Of human grade food.
That's a bit worrying.
But it kind of implies that all other dog food is kind of not human grade food.
Subhuman food.
Exactly. It's not.
Well... Yeah, but this
is the ends and the sides and the middle.
The mechanically recovered.
The bits, yes, the bits that
wraps.
Yes, the bits that are too bad to go in hot dogs.
But this is
turkey
why I find it completely irrational that you see these adverts and the humans obviously going, I wouldn't mind a bit of that myself, but it's bloody dog food. And then they bend down and this kind of immaculate dog kind of comes up and doesn't make a mess when eating it or anything.
Not spilling it everywhere.
No, I mean, you know, my dog used to... You know, well, half the kitchen was covered in dog food by the time he had brekkies.
Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's reality.
But you don't seem to get any pet food adverts for other types of pets that aren't cats or dogs.
No.
Like budgerigar feed.
Yeah, or rabbit kibble.
Fish flakes.
Kibble. Yeah, fish flakes.
Fish flakes.
I think they are rather specialist markets, though. And spending money on television advertising is possibly... beyond their means, whereas there are billions of cats and dogs, but the rest of the animal kingdom is less well represented.
That's a very good point.
In households.
The latest thing, certainly, well, according to Wikipedia in America, is people are actually getting a little bit wise to the fact that all the nasty bits go into their dog food, and they're being a bit more conscientious about what they feed their dogs. And the latest kind of, I guess, ethically sound diet for dogs is the biologically appropriate raw food diet, which abbreviates rather nicely to BARF.
Nice. But surely they are dogs, they will eat anything.
Well, this is pretty much...
So,
yeah. Just,
but you don't want them to eat anything, because otherwise they'll turn into, you know, rabid killers.
There was an example on It's Me or the Dog, where there was a family who would regularly spend £6 on rump steak or so on, fry that up, cook it up with some garlic, maybe some red wine, and that would be the dog's food. They lived entirely on value 88p macaroni and cheese ready meals.
What is It's Me or the Dog?
It's Me or the Dog is a program that used to run on Channel 4 with a very, I think she's nice now, but also terrifying. A black jumpsuit clad lady named Victoria Stilwell goes around and tells people what exactly they're doing wrong with their dogs and why they need to shape up or ship out.
So she's the lady with the tight bun and the riding crop, isn't she?
Yes. She is.
She's the super nanny of the canine world.
Indeed, and I think in a fight between her and Mick from Dog Borstal, she would probably win.
I mean, in terms of feeding dogs better than you do, I mean, that's standard behaviour certainly for greyhound owners, that, you know, you see all these tales of greyhounds, but as long as they're winning, they'll be eating steak, and it's only when they start losing that they occasionally, some less conscientious greyhound
steak.
Owners.
And then they get turned into dog food themselves.
Well...
That might not be true.
No.
Allegedly.
Katie, do you have a song for us?
I do indeed have a song. Unfortunately, it doesn't... I've been racking my brains thinking of how this might have a doggy connection, but it doesn't. It's just a song by The Smiths, and I was inspired to play it because I heard a truly dreadful cover version of it the other day. Mark Ronson?
Mark Ronson.
Mm. I've never heard of this chap before. Apparently he's a jolly big cheese in the world of hip-hop production
or
something.
Does he have a dog?
I will find out.
There you go.
Let's say he does.
Potentially has a dog.
He probably knows Snoop Doggy Dog.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. And this is Stop Me If You Think You've Heard This One Before.
Smith. Does Morrissey like dogs? Do you know?
Oh, he must do.
Oh, look at his hairdo. Of course he does.
Oh, dear. Well, asexual pop stars aside, our taste test of slightly gender-specific drinks, well, it kind of a mixed result. But I forgot to mention that we'd also brought in a Yorkie bar.
Do you see?
Do you see? It's not for girls, but yet we're all girls and we're eating it.
Ah.
In your face, marketers.
I know, we're subverting your advertising. Unfortunately, this doesn't change the fact that Yorkie tastes a bit minging.
It does not.
It does. It does. We can continue now.
Ladies. The only good Yorkie, I would say, is a Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh, now you happen to mention Yorkshire Terriers. We happened to see some back when we were at Crofts.
Yes, we did.
I have a fact. They were probably a couple of the 4,042 Yorkshire Terriers that are currently registered with the Kennel Club 2006 figures.
Blimey.
The Observer magazine today gives a list.
Oh, lovely.
Which is handy.
Especially if you're being on the radio needing facts.
Yeah, but carry on.
Yes.
Exactly. One of our problems at Crofts was the fact that, we don't have any dogs. Personally, I'm actually a bit scared of dogs.
You could almost say we were there on a whim, couldn't you?
It's true. I mean, I do really, really like dogs. If I see a lovely dog on the street, I would love to run up to it and hug the dog and pat its fur and scribble behind its ears.
Its glossy little nose or whatever.
Yeah, and prod its nose. Yeah. But whenever I get more than less than a foot close to a dog, I can see its teeth.
And this is a problem.
Of course it's a problem. Teeth, hand. Bleeding. Oh no, the pain, the agony.
The possible rabies.
Well, me and my friends had a rule that if you're near a dog, you should never let it get above your hip. It should always be on the floor and you should be stood up and that's it.
But what if the dog is taller than your hip to begin with, like a big Great Dane?
You should run very fast.
Remembering, of course, that dogs can't look up.
Yes, you're safe.
but we're slightly worried at first of all about getting to Crofts. My first concern was dress code. I don't really have anything tweedy. So I thought, well, they're completely going to suss that we're not dog people. They're going to look at us funny and maybe bully us and wait for us behind the Pedigree Chum Dentistick store and have a go at us. But one thing I thought would happen, I was expecting to get quite a lot of free merchandise.
Yeah, me too.
I was hoping to get
in a doggy bag.
I was going to say that.
Well done, everybody. Well done. We can all go home now. a free doggy bag would do. Maybe a baseball cap with a paw print on it, that sort of thing.
And a bony ring of some kind.
A key ring. Unfortunately, all that we got in the end was a brochure of some vitamin pills for dogs. The man who was giving them out said, brochure, it's got pictures in it.
Pictures of dogs.
Sold. Yeah.
he saw straight through us, to be honest.
He knew that we weren't dog people, and it showed.
We wouldn't know about doggy vitamins. But later on, the proof of this came through when we took our seats for Best in Show. The place was pretty much sold out.
In the main arena, this is, then?
Yep. When we eventually found it, after about goodness knows long.
Let's not go into the signposting bitterness.
No, not yet. so we took our seats in this sold-out stadium. Sat down, I thought, oh golly, well, we're going to be a bit squished when the next people arrive and come and sit next to us. Nobody sat next to us at all.
They gave you a wide berth.
We were isolated.
We don't smell.
Well, so maybe that was the problem.
Yes.
That is entirely the problem.
Oh, God. Well, I say nobody sat next to us. About halfway through Best in Show, the people in front of us placed their giant stuffed dog, who we named Rowdy,
in the seat next to us.
Yeah, he took up, was it one seat or two seats?
It was one seat.
He was a very, very big dog. I did enjoy him because he didn't have any teeth. And I was hoping that they'd forget to take him when they went home. Unfortunately, they remembered like the doggy fools that they were.
And they thought we wouldn't notice it was a fake dog.
Surely, I think taking a stuffed dog to Crofts would be kind of morbid.
There were loads of them. I think they were winning them or something.
Yeah, there was a big sort of...
You mean a plush dog?
Oh, a toy dog. Oh, okay.
The mental imagery there was scary.
But there should totally be a taxidermy round at Croft.
But yeah, you could take the teeth out, if you know, to promote personal safety, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I especially don't like during the judging where they have to lift up the gums and lip of the dog to examine its teeth and gums.
It's to make sure they haven't got any bonio stuck up there, I think, that they've been flossing.
But or spinach. I don't like it. That close to the teeth, it's definitely wrong. A far better judging technique we observed was the nose prod, which seemed to be completely baffling, but especially with the little dogs. The judge would just go up to them and go, meh, on their noses.
I think they're trying to see whether they've been, you know, bred so wrong that they've actually become deformed or not. Because that can happen.
But their noses are only about the size of maybe a penny chew. How can they be that deformed?
That's why they're judges, you see, because they know exactly what they're looking for.
It's a mystery to us, though. Yes. We're amateurs.
That's the layperson.
Oh. I think what they're looking to see if their noses go honk honk.
What other criteria do they use? Because I hate to say this on the radio, but
no, you don't.
Yeah. the judges they seem to employ cupping a fair while.
I didn't see any of that.
They make a good inspection of all parts of the dog.
They do, and sort of stretching their legs and sort of like making sure they're standing sort of like as splayed out as possible. Like the dog looks extremely uncomfortable.
But no, that would be the doggy handler that would usually be doing all that sort of thing. But I think one of the things that did annoy me a little bit was the fact that some people, especially with the long haired breeds, would sit them on a table and continue to brush the dog's hair whilst the judge was standing right there. Surely prepare your dog in advance, people.
Yeah, once you're in the ring, you're in the ring. That's it, no more tools.
But perhaps once they'd done their little run around the arena, then their fur would have got a bit muffed up.
They went on the table before they did their run around.
Yeah. Sorry, Katie was just giggling because I said the word moth there.
I can't believe you said that on the radio.
Anyway.
So raise the tone a little.
What sort of pedigree dogs tend to have very silly names, don't they?
They do indeed. They have names like, I've got a list here. These were all dogs that were at Crufts this year. But I might be wrong. Names like Lochfane, Not Be Denied for Barvay.
Blimey.
Flaxheath, A Touch of Rhythm at Maybe-esque.
That sounds like the dogging forecast.
It does.
A Touch of Rhythm at Maybe-esque.
Maybe-esque. Tankery, Trick or Treat with Monique.
That sounds like
Moniac.
Gin. Gin dog.
Or some kind of R&B gin track with Monica.
Yes. Like, Mowgli proudly presents Comfort at Long Tails.
Oh. No, that sounds quite, loyal.
And it's nice, but these are all bafflingly long names, and it's bizarre, and I looked into it, and they're actually not that baffling, and there's reasons for all of them.
Do tell us what these reasons are.
Well, it's a bit confusing. There isn't one general rule or anything like that. It's but most names will involve details about the kennel where the dog was bred. Mm-hmm. So if the kennel, there's a kennel called Breaksea, so you'll get a dog called Breaksea Jumping Jack Flash. Or if the kennel is called Pattish Hall, there's one called Pattish Hall Preview. So you've got that. Or you might have the name of the parent of the dog somewhere in there. And you'll get names that are sort of specific to certain litters, and they'll be on a theme. So there goes the 2020. Good thing the
lid was
on. I don't want to lose the precious nectar.
Oh, imagine the dog on 2020.
No. We're not going there.
The poor little things.
completely lost my point now. You could have litters themed after a certain season. So you'd have a litter born in summer, and you'd get dogs with names like August Moon, June Bug, Summer Breeze.
Ooh, sounds like a bunch of hippies to me.
Or ones where it's the name of the parent. They gave an example on this website. A dog called Sarah Lee has a puppy called Piece of Cake.
Hey. I like brilliant. What they did there.
Excellent. But you also get various themes after you've got the bit about the parent of the dog and the kennel. And there's a number of themes which kind of run through these things, like attitude. So you get ones where the dog is named after a sort of good attitude or sort of make it sound unique and winning. So you get things like Blitzen Absolutely Dazzles.
Oh.
Or Snickles First Edition. Or I've got Tweed Isle, That Special Sun. Got the Tweed in there. Or you could have ones which are kind of, you know, showing that the dog is rebellious and bad, and it's things like Parkbo, the Devil's Own.
Or Miami.
Montravia Tommy Gun.
What?
Montravia Tommy Gun. One crafted in 1985. I've been doing my research.
Yeah, more research than me, by the way.
We'd just like to, at this point, thank Wikipedia for all its help on producing this
week's
show.
It was from the Kennel Club's website, actually. Thank
Kennelclub.co.uk.
But don't these dogs usually have sort of a common everyday name? Are these show names?
Yes, you get a show name and you get a call name where the dog is just called Hoaxy or Buster or something.
Something that will fit on a collar.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting this year that the best in show was his pet name was Willy, and that was part of his show name as well, that he was called Fabulous Willy.
I don't think that tends to happen.
Was he named after his father?
Thank you. It's not often see the people with these incredibly long quadruple barrel name, and then it'll be, and at home they call him Patch.
Yes, which is always really funny. Well, why did they bother? You know.
I suppose if you lost the dog and you were out standing on your street calling, you don't want to be shouting out Fabulous Willy, come home.
Or Polly Peck, private dancer for Clone Heath. I have got a whole list of dogs' names, but I probably won't. Oh yes, Sarah's pointing at one of the best ones. One of the themes that is often used is humour, and apparently there's a dog called Wagatha Christie.
Hooray! It all ties together eventually.
Lovely. It occurred to me that not all dogs have silly names, and I looked up the most popular pet names for dogs.
What's the most popular?
In the UK, for a female dog, Molly.
Molly.
Max for a boy. In the US, Max for a boy, Molly for a girl. But then it changes. You get Charlie and Jack in the UK, Holly and Rosie. In the US, it's Maggie and Daisy for the girls, and Buddy and Jake.
Buddy.
Like Air Bud.
Just like that.
They're a famous basketball playing dog.
And every other sport playing dog.
Yes. Baseball's
one. But the baseball, that's seventh inning fetch. Then there is the basketball one's the original one, and there is, I should have done my research
myself. There's a soccer bud, I think.
There is a soccer bud. I can't remember what that one's called, but it does feature the entire Women's World Cup winning team from the US.
You don't get this in ice skating.
Wait a minute. The other one is it's a volleyball one, and it's called
Spike?
Yes, it's called Bump Set Spike, but I can't remember what the pun is. Where is Pete Barron? He would know.
I don't mind telling you all that I'm completely baffled all of this.
A series of children's films featuring a dog
playing sport.
Air Bud playing sport.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Generally to help out his poor owner, who...
Poor, haha.
Poor, no. Thank you. Like an egg. Owner. And then hilarious adventures ensue.
Blimey.
Excellent. Can I just mention a greyhound's name? Yeah. Greyhounds tend to have much shorter names because obviously you have to say them quickly. But they're also a bit more exciting than pet names. And I came across a greyhound called Different Gravy.
Different Gravy?
And Muck Spreader. And also Tea Biscuit.
Oh, I see.
And Buyer Beware.
Oh, I thought it said Burger Beware.
No, that's just my handwriting.
That's a good name, though.
Yeah.
And if our pregnant friends are listening, I hope you've been inspired by this feature.
Yes. Or not.
Yeah, so fictional dogs, they tend to have bonkers names as well, don't they? Like Beethoven, or Argos, who was Odysseus's dog.
Then you are speaking to someone who grew up with a dog called Byron. So I tend to be unfazed by it, but I think they're perfectly reasonable.
Mm.
Well... Yes, there are other dogs in fiction. I didn't really get that many because there were so many that I decided not to actually find that many out. But you've got Montmorency from Three Men in a Boat. You've got Nana from Peter Pan. Timmy from The Famous Five.
Of course.
Oh, that's smug classic.
A classic dog there.
And also What a Mess, who's my favourite dog.
Oh, the Afghan puppy.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Oh. We're named Prince Amir of Kinjin or something like that.
And he was always covered in rubbish.
Yeah, he was great.
And he had a little bird living in his head.
It was just great for children because the amount of detail in the illustrations was just really sort of, children love that sort of thing.
Snoopy's quite a disturbing name for a dog, isn't it? It's like he's watching.
It is a bit.
I've never thought about that, to be honest.
All this talk of dog names has got that song. You know the dog called Bingo, and you have the song B-I-N-G-O. It's stuck in my head.
Like D-I-S-C-O.
No.
No, okay.
Well, perhaps to get the song out of your head, we should move on to Alex's tune.
Yes, it's called, it's by Nina Anastasia from her album Dogs, and it's called It's a Dog's Life. And it's...
I had a dream about a dog. I was walking in an amusement park with people all around me. We rode the roller coaster rides, and he was laughing as we jumped in the sky. Then I saw that I looked just like him. It's a dog's life. I want to lead a dog's life. Run to the woods, dig a hole, just him and me. He showed me all the various scented treasures on the ground. There was a little girl, she was scared of me and I was scared of her. He let out a bark and she screamed, dropped her chocolate ice cream. Suddenly this old man chased us till we jumped the fence. It's a dog's life. I wanna lead a dog's life. Under the couch and chew a bone, just him and me. Across the street and barely missed a speeding car. Suddenly this old man grabbed him from around the corner. I hid behind a big trash can, wondered what's become of him. I tried to stay, but curiosity kills me. It's a dog's life.
That was lovely. Turning from nice dogs to bad dogs.
Yeah, you think that was nice, but just imagine what a dog's life really is. Think of what's inside a dog. I think it's a cold, dead heart of a killer. Especially a dog who was at Crufts. He was a Maltese Terrier who probably had a silly name like Burger Beware. And this little dog, you see with the big long-haired dogs, they need to have some little bows to get their hair out of their eyes, or at least that's what they claim.
Is the Maltese the one that when it walks, it looks like a sort of a carpet fluffing around like that? It looks like it's on wheels.
Yes, yeah. It's the little one that looked like a mop, yes. A very clean,
like,
white mop.
Like Dougal from the Magic Roundabout, but small.
Yes. And evil.
Okay.
Evil.
Certainly evil.
What was evil about it?
Now, this particular dog, the bows that it had to sweep the hair out of its eyes, although I think it's just ostentation, it had two black bows which were just situated right above its eye. Or so were, yeah. Nice. What?
Nothing, come on.
Do continue.
So it did rather look like he had either four eyes or two eyes and then two horn things.
The devil's dog.
Well, I was going to ask if it made it look like Martin Scorsese with the huge big black eyebrows.
It made it look like the devil incarnate.
Blimey.
Surely the devil's dog would have three heads.
You'd think, wouldn't you? But you never know what's underneath all the long hair.
Maybe that's why the judge has to look very closely. He's actually trying to detect evil.
And the nose prod is to see if it goes sick, sick, sick. Certainly, that was a terrifying evil dog.
So, bad dogs, we've got the Maltese, the Yorkie, which is unfortunately linked to a terrible chocolate bar.
Not for girls.
There must be other bad dogs about.
Cerberus?
Cerberus was bad.
Well, he was only being told, you know, he was only taking orders. He was there to guard hell, wasn't he?
Well, so, you know, just surely. Taking orders, it doesn't exonerate you from everything, does it?
Well, I guess not.
No. Cujo. Cujo is considerably evil.
Who's Cujo?
It's a creation of the writer Stephen King.
Oh.
And he was an evil dog who ran outside a car or something and used to attack people. I don't know, I actually haven't.
There's that other Stephen King one where there's a spooky Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
And as the picture develops, that's the picture of a dog leaping out of the photo.
Oh, God, yeah, that's terrifying.
The implication is that if you take too many photos, the dog will eventually get you. Genuinely scary.
And of course, there's Muttley, who wasn't really bad. He was just led along astray.
Well, he would just do anything in his quest for medals, wouldn't he?
He would.
He would just do anything for a medal.
He liked a medal.
He's the meddling dog.
Dear me. Sorry, listeners, I've drunk rather too much of my gin and juice.
We haven't even pointed out that we are drinking the Mad Dog 2020.
Is that what the MD stands for?
Yeah.
Certainly in my school.
It used to be called Mad Dog.
It used to have a picture of a dog on it.
It's like
as well.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, the official name is now the abbreviation, is officially KFC now.
That's because it's not made in Kentucky.
Was there an
It doesn't involve chicken.
There was an alcohol pop called Two Dogs.
Yeah, yes. Two Dogs.
Did anyone ever drink that?
All the time.
Yes.
No.
That fabulous summer of 95, 96.
Yeah, you're
Two Dogs. Two Dogs and Hooch were the first two of the...
Not Pooch.
No, Hooch. Not Hooch, yes. Of the Turner and Hooch. Of the early doors alcopops.
I used to think that Two Dogs was a bit more indie than Hooch, which was drunk by all the trendies.
But exactly. We had Two Dogs in our college bar. You'd often find us mixing it with gin with predictable results.
Oh,
marvellous. Oh. I'll drink to that.
Who finished off the Borsley?
I think it was me. I'm extremely sorry.
Well done, Katie.
You've done noble work.
It's a public service.
Yes, next time we will try the whiskey and ginger borzoi. But I'm afraid that's pretty much all we've got time for this week. And now all that's left is to announce this week's number one under the new chart download rules. What else could it be but Rex the dog?
Are you going to say goodbye from everybody first?
Well, we can say goodbye whenever you want. Goodbye, Katie.
See you later.
Goodbye, Sarah.
Off.
Goodbye, Alex.
Bye-bye.
And goodbye, Carson.
Goodbye. And here's Rex the dog.
You can find us on the magical interweb at freakytrigger.co.uk. Keep listening for the Other Woman all-female playlist selected by Roose Barnes, followed by Calling All Pensioners and Rocket 88 Do What Rock and Roll Show. Today's show was brought to you by the word hound. I'm Kat Stevens with the Ladies What Lol.